up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you had a good weekend with your family and friends and hopefully some time with the Lord. This is Steve Noble. Welcome back. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. It is the beginning, of course, of the Passion Week, and a lot of people are paying attention to this in a lot of different ways. And isn't it interesting in this political season that we're dealing with? And who ever thought that perhaps Donald Trump, the ultimate supplanting, would be Donald Trump getting more press this week than Easter? And I would not be surprised, sad to say, if that actually happened, but it's not going to happen on today's show because, we're going to go down some interesting roads to begin our conversation as we consider the news of the day. We've got, of course, the presidential campaign in chaos. We've got the president of the United States for the first time in, 80 or 90 years hanging out down with somebody with the last name of Castro in that little island about 90 miles south of Florida, which is a communist stronghold. And in the news of the day, ISIS and everything else going on here in North Carolina, where I hail from. We've got, of course, people messing around with who can use what bathroom. The state of affairs in the United States of America is really just defined with one word, and I would say that's confusion. So in this week, as we're trying to focus ourselves on Passion Week, on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we live in the here and the now, we think about and hope for the there and the then. But how do we kind of move from the garbage that's in the news and the things that we're inundated with every day to the thing that we should be focusing on, not just this week, but this is a week where we as a church have kind of focused in and drawn a line in the sand and said, no, this is the week that we're going to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that today, to help us kind of move from the news of the day to the greatest news that anybody has ever heard, of course, my good friend and the president of the Truth Radio Network, Stu Epperson Jr., live from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Stu, baby, how are you, man?
Steve, it is awesome to be on the radio with the most electric man in radio alive today, Steve Noble.
Get out of here. You're such a sweetheart. Thanks for saying that. And we go, it's been 11 years now, Stu. Have you realized that? 11 years ago, 2005, when you purchased the radio station AM 1030 here in Raleigh, North Carolina, which was what? Was it like Spanish programming back then? What was it when you bought it?
It was Spanish, and we actually traded a Spanish station in Winston for a Spanish station in Raleigh so that we could bring Christian teaching and talk, the Truth Network, and programs like Steve Noble, who I hadn't quite met yet, to Raleigh. And everyone says, you got to talk to this fiery redheaded dude. This guy's on fire. So you know, I could call a gazillion people and try to figure it out, or I can call one guy who's connected to everybody, Steve. And so that's when it all kind of, you know, happened, and God's really used you. And we just hope that this, you know, we've heard great things, and we hope this, radio ministry here has impacted people. I love coming to the Triangle. It's a highlight of my week whenever I'm able to come your way and meet with awesome people like our friends J.D. Greer and Patrick Wooden and all these guys.
And Chad Harvey and all those guys that
Chad
are on
Harvey,
the Truth
man,
Radio
Chris,
Network.
The whole gang.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, but yeah, God, I can't believe it's been 11 years, man. But
I know.
It's so
shocking.
Cool. It's all a tribute to the truth and the goodness of God because, you know, if he can use a donkey and speak through a donkey like he did in the Old Testament, then yeehaw, he's working.
He can work through a couple of arses like you and me. Yes, indeed, and we praise the Lord for it. Well, we're going to obviously spend a lot of time today talking about Last Words of Jesus, which is a book the Lord led you to write a little over a year ago, First Steps to a Richer Life, which is an incredible book. We've talked about it before, but in light especially, Stu, of what's going on in the news cycle today and with the craziness in the presidential election, I want to dive into some of the things that are happening in the news right now because we talk about these things anyway, but then transition out of that because I think so many of us inside the church, especially especially, tend to anchor ourselves. We tether ourselves to the news of the day. And so we go up and down with the news cycle, up and down with the political environment, up and down with the nature and the shape of the culture here in America. Yet, God's word never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to get back to that. And unfortunately, we have to be reminded to do it, but we do. So let's talk a little bit about the news of the day, and then we're going to transition into the last words of Jesus, because when somebody says something at the end of their lives, there's been books and books written about famous last words. And of course, if you go to the most famous and most important person that's ever lived, what did he say in his last hours? Which, of course, we know that there were seven statements from the cross, a total of 48 words. And the book is just powerful. I put it up on Facebook and on Twitter and all those places today. Get there through my homepage at c2atoday.com. But how are you dealing with the news of the day? We've got this crazy presidential race. We have Donald Trump, the phenomenon going on there. I mean, how do you handle it? You're a mature Christian. You're a well-educated Christian. You work in Christian radio, Stu. How are you processing the news of the day?
Well, it helps to listen to people like you, because you always take us, you always convict us and convict me and take us back to the throne, and we realize who really is in control. I heard this great joke the other day, which is, will people that like or hate Trump will enjoy it. It's basically said, what's the difference between Donald Trump and God? And I hope you haven't told this on the air lately.
I have not.
Okay, the difference between Donald Trump and God is God doesn't think he's Donald Trump. But there's a humor piece of that, you know. It is funny, and even Donald would laugh at that.
Sure,
you know, because he would probably agree with it, you know. But there's also a spiritual piece of that. The Lord, the King's hand is in the power of the Lord. See, so really, it's humbling. We need to be trusting God and realize that there's going to be no ultimate heart change without the truth of God's word, the power of God's spirit, you know, what you experienced at Harvest America that so many of our listeners got involved with, Steve, where people are giving their life to Christ. And so when we get to that level, so it's really forced me to say, just to shut up and to get closer to the Lord and seek him and praise him for his sovereignty, his greatness, that like Isaiah 6, he is on the throne. And it really, you know, my book, Last Words of Jesus, is really, it's nothing about me. It's all about exactly what Jesus said. And I'm on a mission with that book and with everything I do with Christian Radio, with supporting your show and all the awesome programs of the Truth Network. I'm on a mission that I want people to hear from Jesus. His word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's right.
Hebrews 4:12.
And especially, well, we're hitting the break here, Stu. We're hitting the break. And especially in the tumultuous times that we're living in, we do not need to anchor ourselves to the news of the day. We need to anchor ourselves to the rock. And the rock has his name, and his name is Jesus. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio with Stuart Epperson Jr. We'll be right back. It's okay. I love you anyway. Go ahead, admit it. You know the song. Love isn't always on time. You know the song. You're a child of the 80s. I'm right there with you. I feel your pain. That's why it's in there. Love isn't always on time. But you know what? 2,000 years ago, it was. It was exactly on time. And it wasn't delivered in a pretty package. It certainly didn't come in an Easter bunny or some eggs or with a bunch of plastic grass around it. It came on a bloody cross where a prosecution took place. There was a massive injustice. The public opinion drove public policy. The guy that didn't want to kill him ended up having him killed. And in all of that, if you call yourself a Christian, and I do, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who was dead, he was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. And if you call yourself that, then this is the injustice that made it possible for you to escape the justice that you justly deserve and to have the assurance of heaven forever and ever and ever. And that's why we're talking today in the midst of the craziness of the news cycle. It is Passion Week. This Sunday is Easter Sunday. This Friday is Good Friday. And Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer Life by my good friend Stuart Epperson Jr., which, by the way, Stu, this is so crazy. And of course, welcome back to Call to Action Radio. Always great to have you on as a guest, as a co-host, all the different times you've been on. And I was just looking Amazon.com. I go in there. I'm an Amazon Prime member. So I go in there. I look at the Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer Life by you. And if I ordered this thing today, this is so crazy, I could actually have it tomorrow with no additional cost. Now, how do they do that? What What's the deal with that, Stu? How does that even work?
Steve, y'all are going to have to convince me. I want 100,000 people to just do that right now. I'm a skeptic. And so I don't think it can happen.
Let's prove Amazon wrong.
I dare anyone to order, all of your listeners. And I really, you know, it's crazy because this book is all about Jesus. It's just not about me. Someone said that I was speaking to a bunch of kids at a huge chapel near our hometown here. And they said, "Hey, are you going to pump your book up?" I said, "No, I'm going to go preach on Jesus' words.
Amen.
Maybe someone will find out that I actually put it in a book, but the focus of this book is what Jesus said as he died on the cross." And so it could be, on a serious note, that's really cool. I just found that out. It can turn around that quick. If you can, I mean, it's in Lifeway, it's in Barnes and Nobles, but if you order the book, if you're one of those kind of just gets online and orders it, and we have a link at lastwordsofjesus.com too, please get it. But don't get it just for yourself. Get it to journey the cross for yourself, your family, but get it for maybe people in your life that are seeking and they're wondering, who is this Jesus? And maybe they'll be intrigued, because whether you like it or not, friend, whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, wherever you are spiritually, we're so glad you're listening to this radio station right now. We're so glad you're on board. You're welcome to listen anytime, and we want to befriend you and welcome you. But this book, there's an intrigue with Good Friday. The culture's celebrating Easter. Now, some folks do it with Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and all that stuff. But we have this book, Last Words of Jesus, will take you in to these words he said. I mean, he spoke to a member of ISIS while on the cross. He quoted one of the most famous Hebrew bedtime prayers that Hebrew moms and dads prayed with their children from the cross. He gave social justice, not from some club or from some government agency, but from the cross. And it's all in this book, and it's all right from the words of Christ. And I just am like a sermon in a book that focuses on him. And of course, you get people to Christ, Steve, everything changes, right?
No, that's exactly right.
That really brings things into perspective in a culture that's just dying and hungry, and half of us don't even know what we're hungry for.
No, that's exactly right. Well, I was doing a podcast earlier today with Stephen Scoggins and Journey Principles, and the question, he's dealing with people that are broken and addiction, and it always comes back to what is the objective standard in your life for truth? And we go, the world's going crazy. Now, we were just talking about the news of the day, Stu, and it looks like the world is going crazy. Of course, the fact is that it is. So if you go, I'm just going to switch the word crazy with the word insane. Okay, so you go, all right, the world's insane. All right, what's the definition of insanity? And insanity is being out of touch with reality. What is reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, just like Pontius Pilate, you ask the question, what is truth? Well, there is a truth, and truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. He said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how do we transition, as we should, Stu, as we talk about last words of Jesus, how do we transition from this crazy news of the day, Donald Trump, ISIS, everything else going on, all important things, but not the all important thing? Help us transition from the news of the day to the good news and to spending this week really focusing in on what Jesus accomplished on the cross.
Yeah, if you bring it to that point, Stephen, if you go there, if you end up there, that's really fundamentally, as believers, I mean, this comes down to really kind of put up or shut up. Do I really believe this stuff? Has it really changed my life? And how does that, here's a good one for you. What's so good about Good Friday?
That's a great question.
Because everyone's asking it, you know, because you say, well, Good Friday. Well, yeah, the Passion of the Christ. Okay. Chapter 5 of my book is a very rough chapter. The publisher had to take chunks of it out. And because it was so graphic, because it's a blow-by-blow account of the execution of Christ from his betrayal to his final breath, and it is gnarly. It's nasty. It's horrible. This crucifixion was just brutal. And so, you know, Greg Laurie, I've heard all these, just listen to these guys talk about the crucifixion. Well, hey, when's the last time someone took you through that narrative, Steve? And for me, it had been since the Passion of Christ, which has been over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So you think about Good Friday, how about Gory Friday? How about Gruesome Friday? But it's Good Friday because the only one who's good came down here for bad people like Stu Epperson, and he gave his perfectly good life, and he performed good works that no one else could perform, and he died the ultimate death so God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become good. so that we might become the righteousness of God through him, in him. So everything changes for us. Bad people become good because of Good Friday. But it's not, you know, we just have these trite little cliches as Christians. Well, why did Christ die? Well, he died for my sins. Well, he died on the cross. Well, this and that. Well, what does that mean, he died on the cross? Let's pause there. Let's fix our gaze on that middle man, on that middle tree, hanging between two nefarious criminals on the busiest road, at the busiest height of the busiest feast in Jerusalem, the Passover feast. The Lamb of God is bleeding, taking away the sins of the world. Mom and Dad are walking with their kids. Don't look up there at those crooks, those thieves, those wretched terrorists, those members of the Taliban or ISIS who are hanging there on that cross. I'm sure glad they're up there and they're not in the temple terrorizing us. Kids, don't look up there, but kids, shape your act up, because we don't want you to be like that when you grow up.
Yeah.
They're an example. Hey, those insurrectionists up there, that guy in the middle, he's got King up there and that rough-hewn shingle above his head. Hey, don't you kids be like that guy. Oh, nasty, can't even recognize him. Blood everywhere, horrible. Who are those women watching him? And where are all his followers? And what's going on? You know? And yet, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the great high priest, pouring his heart and soul, dying for the very ones that are killing him right there on the cross.
Yep. Yeah.
On Good Friday.
And on Good Friday, and I think about this often, because as I deal on the radio show with a lot of the garbage that's out there and politicians and the cultural rot, all that stuff, and I just keep hearing Jesus from the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because they don't. And we only have one enemy, and the enemy isn't Donald Trump. The enemy isn't the Democrat Party. The enemy is the lie, the deceiver himself. And that's why we're talking about the only truth that ultimately matters, the last words of Jesus. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back with Steve. Welcome back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. It is Passion Week as we approach the days when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which should overshadow everything. Right now, I'm on my Facebook page, a couple of Facebook pages, the radio page and then the personal page, looking through here. And we've got my good friend Stu Epperson Jr. on, of course, the president and founder of the Truth Radio Network, which is where the bulk of you are listening to us right now. Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer Life is the book that the Lord really put on Stu's heart for a while. And lastwordsofjesus.com is the website. You can still get it at Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at Lifeway. It's really available all over the place. And what a great opportunity to take your family or just yourself through these final seven statements. But Stu, I'm looking through my Facebook feeds, and I've gone through probably 50 or 60 of the most recent posts. Three or four of them are about the resurrection. Probably half of them are about the news of the day, and the other half about menial personal things, not to degrade anybody. But very little focus on what we're doing this week. And I think all of us struggle because we're inundated by the 24/7 news cycle. We're looking at Twitter. We're looking at Facebook. We're looking at Instagram. And the whole world is pointing us to everything except that cross. But in the last words of Jesus in the book, as we go through it, you've got the seven statements, 48 words. So if it's okay with you, buddy, let's just go through each one of them. We'll just say what the statement is and help us understand why it's relevant to us. What he said 2,000 years ago still has power today. Why and how does it apply to us? If you're up for that, let's do that.
Sounds great, man. Sounds great.
Okay, here we go. Rapid fire. Let's do the first one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do we do with that one?
What we do, and the book has discussion questions at the end of each chapter, so people that want to have family devotions or more meditative experiences can that don't talk and think as quick as Steve Noble can be
and
more.
And that's a blessing,
with.
By the way.
That's a compliment, brother. The problem is I can't think as fast as you talk, Steve, so I have to replay the tape a couple times.
You're the pot
always
calling the
whatever
kettle.
You say,
you're the pot calling the kettle black, but please proceed.
That's exactly right. So yeah, this notion of, I call it a word of prayer. It's just powerful. It's out of Luke chapter 23. It's verse 34. Three of the sayings for Christ are in Luke. Three are in St. John. And the seventh saying, it's actually that comes for the fourth saying from the cross. Only one of the sayings is in St. Matthew and St. Mark. And ironically, it's the deepest saying. And furthermore, it's the only saying from the cross that's in Matthew and the only one in Mark, but the same one in both of those. So we'll get to that one in a second. But the first word I call a word of prayer. It's a prayer of forgiveness, and just all the ideas of forgiveness. It's one of the only sayings, there's two, but one of the only sayings that in the same verse as this profound word of forgiveness, while he's being tormented, he's forgiving, he's dying with and dying for and forgiving these people at the same, all at the same time. And what's fascinating in that same verse, Luke 23:34, it says, after he says, and he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. It says, and they gambled over his clothes. Mm-hmm. So this is a big joke. Kind of how you open the show, Steve. It's a big joke. You know, let's cut the religious talk and let's get right into politics. Let's get right into business. Let's get into what's really important. Let's Snapchat this, Instagram this, Twitter the tweet this, Facebook this. You know, let's forget this crosstalk. See, but this is how, this is exactly what these centurions, these trained executioners, another day at work. You know, they wanted to be, hey, you enjoy what you do. You'll never work another day in your life, right? That's what all the motivational speakers say. So that's what they would love in their work. And they said, hey, hey, I want to wear a king's clothes. I want to gamble. No, I want them. Okay, well, let's get the dice out and let's have some fun here. You know. And here they have blood on their hands. Likely there's blood on those garments because Christ certainly was bleeding some before they stripped him of those garments and put the lashes on his back. And they're gambling over his clothes in the very same verse that Jesus, the only one that can take these sinful centurions and anyone at the scene of Calvary to heaven, and yet the only one pouring out forgiveness that can forgive him and save him,
yeah,
they're just goofing around. It's a big joke. Let's have a party. And they're gambling over his clothes. Fascinating. Right there, the first word of forgiveness.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And this one always convicts me because, you know, being in the culture war and all that stuff and talking about the news of the day and having been an activist for several years when you and I first met, you know, I was mad at the quote-unquote opposition, mad at the liberals, mad at the Democrats, mad at the pro-choice crowd, mad. I never thought like this. I never thought back then, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm like, no, they know exactly what they're doing. They're persecuting us. They're persecuting the truth. And I had no love in my heart for these people that I was opposing publicly. Yet there Jesus hangs on the cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was absolutely right. I was absolutely wrong. And praise the Lord for that reality. Chapter 2, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What an incredible statement.
The only salvation granted at the cross was to this despicable, lowly member of ISIS. These guys were what would be compared to modern-day ISIS. They were terrorists. They were bad dudes. And I get into the study of that. I actually quote some guys in the book that shed some light on that. This is one of my favorite chapters to write because here Christ, of all the religious people, they completely missed him. Their Torah spoke of Jesus explicitly. All the prophets, all the 350 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus Christ in his life, death, resurrection, ascension. They missed him. He's right there in front of them. The Romans missed him. Everyone missed him. This one guy got it, and he was joining in the raucous before he got it with his partner in crime. But then we find him rebuking his partner in crime, and we find him praying the worst possible sinner's prayer in history. Greg Laurie, Billy Graham, these guys would, you know, D.L. Moody would turn over in his grave, you know, if he heard this, if this would not appear on a gospel track. And, but he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. We break that prayer down in the book in chapter 2, man. It's just rich. I could preach an hour on that and I won't, but I call it a word of pardon. Of all the people granted salvation, Christ grants salvation to the lowly, despicable thief. And he says, when the Savior says, today, you will be with me. This is salvation, folks, knowing Jesus, being with Jesus.
Amen.
In paradise. You know what heaven is? Being with Jesus. You don't want to be with him? Don't call yourself a Christian, okay? Because it's knowing Christ. Jesus said in John 17:3, the night before as he prayed to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, eternal life is knowing God.
That's right.
This is it. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him boast in this, that he knows thee. It's knowing him. It's not, don't be like me in paradise. Today you will not go get catechized, baptized, dunked underwater, new members class, hit the seminary, this and that. No, this guy couldn't do any of that stuff. He was nailed to a tree. Today you will not be like me. Today you will be with me. In paradise, and he entered into the rest of his Savior. He moments away, just breaths away from hell, and Jesus Christ grabs them and takes them right to heaven.
Yeah, and the great thing that it reminds me of, and for, especially for you listening, if you think you're outside of the grasp, it's never too late, and you're never too dirty. Jesus can transform your life, transform where your soul will spend all eternity. He can do it in an instant when you just recognize who he is, which is what the thief on the cross did. Lord, he recognized who he was and recognized what he was in control of and recognized that he needed him in order to be with him in paradise. And right there on the spot, no baptism, no nothing, Jesus assures him with his own blood that that's exactly where he would go. Woman, behold thy son. Disciple, behold thy mother. That's a tough one. He's talking to his mom and to the Apostle John. What about that one, Stu?
Well, it's a great picture of Jesus Christ in his most painful moment. He takes time, and let me tell you what's going on here at the cross. At the cross, you have this small band of his followers, his beloved disciple Mary, and some of his other aunts and cousins who are there. All the other disciples, these strong, tough, I'm going to stand with you to the end. They're wheels up. They're headed for the hills because there's a cross with their name on it somewhere that they don't want to hang on. Okay, so there is his mom, and when most of us are in pain, we need mom to help us. The guys laying in their blood, dying on the battlefield valiantly for our country. You can hear the moans of mom, mom, calling out. Well, this son wasn't calling out to mom to help him. He was giving amazing care to her. He was doing what the firstborn son in the Levitical order would do, and that is take care of his mom. So he gave her another son to take care of her through the rest of her days, and he gave his beloved disciple an awesome mentor, a godly woman full of wisdom, to be his companion in his life and all the stuff he would go through. Pretty remarkable. A great picture of the body of Christ. She wasn't his mom, John. John wasn't her son. But Jesus Christ, as his physical body is being destroyed on that cross, being just devastated, his spiritual body, the body of Christ, is being formed right there in front of him. And that's what's cool, Steve. When I say, hey, brother Steve, well, it might sound like it's cool language. It's a cliche-ish. But honestly, Steve, you and I have no biological connection. Maybe going back to Noah we do, or something, or Adam, right, before him.
Yeah.
But in Christ, we are brothers. We have the same blood of Jesus running through our veins because of his amazing gift that happened on that Good Friday. So this really does mean, Steve, if you're stuck, you call me.
Yep.
If you need something, what's mine is yours. And this is the reality. And if you say you go to a church but it's not a body, it ain't a church.
Yeah, that's exactly
this
right.
This is what true fellowship is.
That's,
see, and it all
exactly
started right there at Calvary.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What a great picture for us. When we come back, perhaps one of the most difficult ones to understand. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What's that mean? What happened there? I thought there was that love there and it couldn't be separated yet. That's exactly what happened. We're talking to Stu Epperson, Last Words of Jesus, available at bookstores everywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Check out the new website, if you would, please. C2AToday.com. It's really awesome, if I do say so myself. They just did an incredible job with it. C2AToday.com, that's called to action, the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, C2AToday.com. But instead of going there, if you had to choose only one, I would prefer if you went to lastwordsofjesus.com. And because this is a great devotional book, it's a great book, period, whether it's for you and your spouse, or you and your whole family, to get back to where we should be spending our time every week. Focus time, but oftentimes we need these holidays, quote unquote, to help us focus in on what really matters, what lasts forever, and what changes lives. Donald Trump isn't going to change lives. The Republican Party, the Democrat Party, the U.S. government, what happens in the culture war, whether a guy who thinks he's a girl can use a girl's bathroom or not, is not ultimately going to change anybody's life forever. The only thing that does that is Jesus Christ. And so we always have to get back to that. And that's where on the show here on Call to Action Radio, and I know on Truth Radio Network, and Stu Epperson, of course, the founder of Truth Radio Network and the author of Last Words of Jesus, knows this too. But we take every thought captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and then we use the news cycle, the news, use the stories of the day, the things that frustrate us, enrage us, whatever, and you can use all of them to get back to a conversation about the gospel, which is the ultimate answer to all of these things, the only place where you're going to find lasting peace, the only place where you're going to find a worldview that makes sense of it all. And that's why we do this, is to kind of take all these things and use them to get people to the cross of Christ. And this week, as we celebrate Easter, of course, that's what our number one focus should be. So we're going through these last seven statements of Jesus Christ before he died. Seven statements, 48 words. We're on statement number four. We're going to cook through these two, and I know we can't do them justice, which is why go to Amazon.com, go to Barnes & Noble, go to Lifeway. You can get it at lastwordsofjesus.com. It's on my Facebook page, and you can get it in a day or two and still use it this week. Talking about the last words of Jesus. Number four, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What do we do with that? Because that's Jesus talking to his Father. What does that have to do with you and me, Stu?
Well, let me tell you, I looked at some theologians on this, Steve, a lot of guys that are a lot smarter than us and a lot deader than us, too. And, you know, it's pretty scary when you go to that word from the cross and you try to write about it, and the brightest minds that have ever lived theologically say things like, I have no clue what this means.
Yeah, it really,
it's quite daunting. But what it is, I call it a word of pain. And when the next word, of course, is about his physical agony, which we see visibly. But this particular statement is marked by 3 hours of pitch black in the middle of the day. There's no eclipse. There's no astronomical abnormality. It is just pitch black. It's midnight at midday, as one writer calls it. And it is just the mystery of the divine atonement. Jesus didn't cease to be God, but he experienced the full brunt, the full impact of the wrath of God upon the sin and the evil of mankind. There had to be a sacrifice, the unspotted, perfect, righteous Lamb of God. There had to be a priest to present that sacrifice. Jesus was the priest, and he was the sacrifice, and he was behind the veil doing his mediatorial work in those moments, those 3 hours of blackness, and it's a mystery. But we know this, because he was forsaken, we can be accepted.
Yeah, that's right.
We can be sons and daughters of the living God. We can be forgiven, because our judgment, the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53. So it's rich, and I go into more depth, of course, in the book, Last Words of Jesus, but that's the best I can do for you on that one, mate.
Yeah, and it's without those words, our eternal destination is unreachable. Without those words, without that happening, we had no access ultimately to the Father in heaven, and that's why that's, for me personally, why that's so important. The shortest one of all of them, Stu, of course, I thirst. What was going on there?
Well, how ironic that the shortest word from the cross that we have in English is the only thing we hear Jesus say remotely about his own discomfort. And discomfort it was. This was a horrific way to die, the worst way to die. These Roman executioners were well-oiled machines. They designed crucifixion to extract the maximum amount of pain. But I thirst is a fulfillment of prophecy, because it even says in John 19, when he says it, it says to fulfill prophecy, see? So here you have the water of life crying, I thirst. And ultimately, he thirsted so that we could drink and be satisfied. So it's that word is a very short but pointed description of all that he suffered and all that he drank in the cup of God's wrath so we could drink from the well of God's grace.
Yeah, and then it takes us to a really amazing, this just, what an amazing statement here. And my hair is standing up on end right now. Statement number six, it is finished. And I want to just read something here from my good friend Matt Papa, who sometimes you hear his music here on the show, from a song that he wrote a couple years ago called It Is Finished. It is finished. It is done. To the world salvation comes. Hallelujah, we're alive. Hell was silenced when you cried, it is finished. And then he goes on to say this. The earth shook and trembled. The sun bowed its head. The veil of the temple was opened for men as Jesus went down in the cold of the grave, defeated the darkness when he overcame. The keys of the kingdom were placed in the hands of children and priests and of fishers of men. Through all generations, his voice will be heard. Creation resounds the victorious words. It is finished. Wow. What an amazing statement.
It's a great statement. I call it the greatest closing statement of all time.
Oh,
in
man.
This statement, you have this plaintive cry from the Savior where he summarizes everything from that Genesis 3:15 prophecy that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. See, everything from there all the way through. The seed of the serpent was trying to destroy the seed of the woman, and God's redemptive plan would go on, and Jesus Christ finished it all. He did what none of us could do. He the greatest achievement of all time, right there on the cross. And I spent a lot of time in chapter 6 of Last Words of Jesus, Steve, really talking about how it's not about me working for him. It's about what he did for us.
Amazing.
And Good Friday, we spend this whole week talking about what the Savior did, what he did for us. And yet we spend our whole Christian lives talking about, well, what are you doing for him? Well, go do this for him. When in fact, the power of the resurrected life of Christ in us is realizing what he did and then who I am in Christ, my union with him. That's why Jesus said in John 15, abide in me. So go to that cross and rest in his perfect work and quit striving, quit trying, because you're only going to beat yourself up more, but get with him. Quit trying to be like him and be with him, and you watch him change your whole life because it is finished.
Yeah, it is finished. That's right. And he does it's all an inside job. It's totally an inside job.
It's a good thing. That's the only kind of job that could fix a guy like me, I'll tell you that.
You and me both, brother. Okay, seventh and final statement. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Yeah, and this is a favorite one of our wonderful friend Ann Graham Lotz. Yeah. You know, this is from Psalm 31. This was the bedtime prayer that a lot of the Hebrew moms and dads pray with their children. And I go into that particular one and the prophetic nature of that and the interesting comparisons between Psalm 31 and Jesus' words in Luke 23, verse 46. But this is the ultimate RIP. You know, we say rest in peace. You know, we put it on Facebook. We put it on what I call Instagram. You know, when someone passes away, a famous sports figure, someone dies. Well, you know, you and I both know that sadly, if they don't have Christ, they're not resting and they're not in peace.
No.
So that's the antithesis of what's going on. But Jesus Christ rested in peace. He commended his hands. He commended his spirit in the mighty hands of his Father. He died as he lived, depending upon the Father, and he brings us peace with God and the peace of God, which transforms our entire life because he is the Prince of Peace. So in chapter 7 of Last Words of Jesus, it's a great statement of peace. And, you know, really, we're in a world of turmoil. We're in a world that even people in the same political party hate each other. We got all this, we got war going on. We got people want to lump our heads off, you know, all over the world. But there's never perfect peace until you find peace with Jesus. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's awesome that he died on that cross. He won the war against hell and sin and Satan and the bondage of sin and the war within us on that cross. And he declared in his final word of life from the tree of death, he declared peace. And that's a question to all your listeners, Steve. Do you know peace? Because if you have no Jesus, N-O Jesus, you have no peace, N-O peace. But if you know Jesus, K-N-O-W Jesus, then you will K-N-O-W peace. And like Colossians 3 says, the peace of God will rule in your life. Is your life marked by peace? Are you a peacemaker spreading the peace of the gospel everywhere you go? Or is your life marked by war? I'm going to tell you right now, stop wherever you are and call out to Jesus who hung on that cross, who went through hell for you so you could live today in heaven and live in heaven eternally. Call out to him and he will bring a peace into your life. Yeah, your life will still be crazy and you'll still be in this unrestful world, but he will bring a peace in your life like none other, like he's done in me and Steve Noble.
That's exactly right. Last Words of Jesus is the book, First Steps to a Richer Life, a perfect read and a perfect guide to help you get back to the cross, which we all need to do, especially this week that we've afforded ourselves. We came up with this week in terms of celebrating, and it affords us the opportunity to get back to the cross. If you know him, to get back to that cross where he saved you. If you don't know him, to get back to that cross where he's still waiting for you. You're never too far gone. You're never too dirty. He loves you right where you're at, but he doesn't want to leave you there. That's what Jesus is here for you, as he has been for Stu and for myself. Lastwordsofjesus.com, Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, online at Amazon.com. What an incredible read. Thank you, Lord, for your words, and thank you, Stu, my brother, for your work, pal.
Hey, it's great to be on. Get a bunch of copies for your friends that don't know Christ.
That's right. Pass them out.
Maybe a tool to share the Lord. Thank you, Steve.
All right, pal. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. Okay, friends, there you go. We're going to keep trying to bring us all back, myself included, to the cross this week as we focus on Jesus. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.